Okay, so if you like donuts, raise your hand now. Yeah, the hands work. Great. Well, it's just really exciting to be here, be amongst you. I've been sort of friends of the church for a long, long time, but I've never been to Stoke Site here on a Sunday morning. So it's just really fun to be with it. And to be honest with you, the sermon's already been preached. Esther's already preached it. It's just a real thrill to hear that. I believe God's spoken through it. And a number of things, you know, particularly, you know, to press through when your own circumstances, you have excuses, right? You have reasons why to say no, but you said yes. And I think that's a sermon right there. I could drop the mic and we could have some donuts, and that would be great. Seriously, I think, and I'm aware that there's others in the room battling with health, battling with stuff going on in their lives. And so to hear a story of somebody that is full of hope through some difficult circumstances, I think is powerful. Now, the dream is that we lay hands on you and you get healed, and that's great. But I feel like God is applauding and honouring the pressing on, through difficult circumstances, and I believe He's using it and will continue to use it. And I can look around the room. Some know, some I don't know, and see actually there's some stuff going on in our lives that we have this choice, this moment of, do I say yes, do I say no to God in these things. So I just want to encourage you in that. Before we go further, the subject for today is spirit-led evangelism. There you go. So we're all excited by that. Now, some of us are excited by that. Some of us think, oh, now he's going to nag me for half an hour, try and get me to do stuff I don't want to do, all of those things. Hopefully I'm not going to do that. But there is a mission field that is ready for harvest. And I don't know if anyone's read the Quiet Revival report that Bible Society have done. Anyone read that report? Google it, the Quiet Revival. God is moving in our country. Flabbergasted. More people are getting saved. We've seen in this last month something like 10 to 15. We're still figuring out how many people have got saved just this month in our church. And that's not normal for us. It's because God's doing some stuff. People are open in a way that they were not open, particularly 18 to 25-year-olds. Bible sales have gone up massively, and particularly to that demographic. The Bible Society were struggling to keep up with publishing, with printing as many Bibles as were being bought. And that's now. God's, you know, I went for a walk with my friend Emmanuel. I think he was here a little while ago. Went with my friend Emmanuel down by the river in Worcester just last week, and we're just walking, chewing the fat, having a nice time in the sunshine. There's a guy on a bench, and he looked at me. I looked at him. I said hi, and that I thought that would be the full extent of the exchange. To be honest, because I'm enjoying the time with my friend Emmanuel. He said hi, I said hi. And he said, you couldn't turn the clock back, could you? I want to be young again. And I stopped and I said, no, I'm not sure I can. I've told some Bible story of somebody stopping the sun for a day. I could have a bash at that, I said, but I'm not sure we can do that. But what you need is hope. It's interesting you use the same term. And I said, I think I can help with that. And I do believe there is life beyond this life. What do you think about that? And any sort of, we had a good dialogue, and it ended with myself, him, and Emmanuel holding hands, praying, trusting God to come and break into that person's life. But that's people are hungry, for God. And the truth of it, nothing's changed. The truth of it is they're only going to hear if you tell them. They're only going to find out if you step up and do that. And the reality of the situation is we in the West find that difficult, don't we? We don't find it easy. We've got to find something in us to find some courage and some boldness to step out, to say yes rather than no, to, okay, I'll give my hope bracelet away, or whatever it might be. Your story along those lines. And I do believe that God is teeing us up. I mean, that guy on the river, I mean, what a perfect tee up for a gospel thing. I mean, he tried to object a few times, and I said, let me remind you how this conversation started. You needing hope, and you don't have any. When the conversation went, and the guy, you know, there were a number of suicide attempts in his life. He needed hope. He was desperate. And we were able to chat to him and point to him, to Jesus. Now, what he does with that information is entirely up to him. But we were able to point him in that direction. Josephine, come and tell us a quick story. Because the truth is, you hear stories from someone like me, you think, oh, yeah, that's all right. Jim does that sort of thing. Josephine doesn't do this sort of thing. Okay? And actually is sort of married to someone that does this sort of thing and thinks to herself, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to stand up in church when he's, you know, encouraging us gently to do this sort of thing, and I struggle. So,
yeah. So, in my teens, I was quite bold with sharing my faith, but then with my friends, I can do that. But I don't have the school gate to chat to people at anymore. You know, I work for the church, so I mainly see Christians. So, about sort of spring last year, I was feeling challenged. God, yeah, sort of saying, "Come on, you used to talk to people," and I thought, "Okay, where am I going to see somebody regularly?" I thought, well, Aldi, that's, you know, that's really it, you know. So I went, I prayed and thought, okay, I'll find somebody at Aldi. So I went into Aldi, was, you know, after that, and thought, okay, who's an easy person? So I picked somebody who looked like an easy person, and I just started trying to get to know them. So as they were stacking shelves, you know, I go the same time every week. I'm a creature of habit. So this guy was always there, and I thought, yeah, let's try and find a common ground. The guy was African. I was planning a wedding with some African elements. So I started talking about some things, you know, getting something we had in common. And over the weeks, I started, you know, we just sort of made friends, really. And eventually, I shared my faith with him and was gutted because he was a Christian already. I partly felt like God was really kind in letting me get over that, you know, that hurdle. But then, you know, Newman telling me, you know, he said amen really loudly and, you know, there we go. But sort of, I went away sort of encouraged. Anyway, about a couple of weeks later when I saw him, he said, Josephine, I felt really challenged by what you did. And so I've been witnessing to another guy who's a member of staff. And he wasn't in that week. And I thought, well, that's really encouraging. I feel encouraged. And I shared this with church that I'd done that. Anyway, a few weeks later at the checkout, Newman comes along dragging Daniel, saying, this is the man I've told you about. This is the woman I've told you about. He needs to go to your church. And I thought, does Daniel really want to go to our church, or is he just being pushed? So I talked to him a little bit about church. What's your experience? None, he said. I said, oh, okay, well, you know, this is when we meet. Come along. And so the next week I wrote down all the information. I gave my number sort of in case he wanted to give a text before he came in. And I saw him a couple of times, but not very much. Anyway, about 6 weeks later, I'm in church, walk upstairs to our meeting, and you are speaking to Daniel, who came along to church. And that was really encouraging. You've met with him, and he's been on a journey of faith just on his own, online for the last 4 years, and wanted to get baptized, didn't he? Yes. But when I first talked to Newman and he talked to Daniel, I put in the in one of the group chats that I'm in at church with some of the leaders about what happened. And one of the other leaders texted, oh, is it Elliot you're talking to? I said, oh, no, it's not Elliot. Oh, right, I always talk to Elliot. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I was in Aldi, hadn't seen Daniel or Newman, which was really inconvenient because they go and find me things if I can't find them, and got to the final aisle, was just going down the cakes, and there was Newman leaning over this big box of cakes with Daniel leaning over the other and another young man looking a little bit like a rabbit caught in headlights, and I knew that was Elliot because I'd worked out who he was, and Daniel, Newman shouted very loudly, Josephine, Daniel and I are just telling Elliot that he needs Jesus in his life. I don't know what's happening there yet.
Great. And I think the point is that there are people that are hungry, you know. So Daniel had been reading his Bible and exploring faith for about 4 years before that conversation happened. And I got a text from somebody a couple of weeks ago, text the church sort of Facebook to say, you know, what time is your service? So I answered the time. And then I sort of, you know, looked out for a new person that Sunday, and a lady walked in, and I said, were you the person that texted me? She said, yes. I said, so what brings you here? Have you recently moved to the area? You know, the conversation you have. And she said, no, I've been reading my Bible for the last 3 or 4 years, and I think it's time to get baptized. So these people are, that's what I'm saying, the people are there that are hungry. There's a spiritual hunger. I think people cleverer than me are beginning to call this generation of people, you know, post-secular. We've had a title that's post-Christian, and we sort of got used to that, but people are now referring to this sort of generation as post-secular. So people are like dissatisfied with the secular things and exploring faith, particularly the 18 to 25 year olds. Do read that report because it will inspire you and encourage your faith. Let's have a look at Acts 3, a well-known story for many of us, I'm sure. Acts 3 verse 1. It says this: one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At three in the afternoon, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What a great story. What I would like you to do is I'd like you to sort of take like a couple of minutes. This isn't your time to now, you know, get into like big conversations. Take a couple of minutes. What does this story teach me about spirit-led evangelism? Can you get into little groups, twos or threes? Get into little groups. What does this teach me about spirit-led? The story is, let me re-paraphrase it. Peter and John are on their way to the temple. They get to the temple. There's a man that was familiar. He'd been put there, a cripple, and he was begging. And he sort of asked them for money, and then Peter and John, give me your attention. They looked at him and said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. Stand up and walk. And the man walked. Later on in the story, Peter then preached the gospel and people got saved. So what does this teach you personally for your life this week and the following weeks about spirit-led evangelism? Discuss and come back to me. Okay, how are we doing? Need more time? Have we nailed it? Have we sorted it? Nailed it. So what does it teach us? Okay, what I have, yeah. I give to you. Yeah. 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 He'd already got something before the walk, hadn't he? Do you know what I mean? And so, he believed there was something in him that could make that person walk. That's something for us to carry, isn't it? That's something for us to sit in and think, what is that? Anybody else who wants to? Yeah. Yeah. They weren't on a year team. Do you know what I mean? They weren't there. They were just doing life, weren't they? No. But they did engage. They knew what to do in that moment. Because how many times do we have a moment like a guy on the bench saying, "Can you turn the clock back?" And it's later in the day we think, "Oh, I should have said." But they were quick, weren't they? Any other? Yeah. Hope. Yeah. So yeah, they saw beyond the surface. Yeah. There was a moment. There's a Holy Spirit moment. That's really good, isn't it? And they spotted the moment. Do you know what I mean? They had a sensitivity to the Spirit to spot the moment. How are we doing? Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah, very good, very good. And they preached the gospel not just to him but beyond. But that the walking man got people's attention, didn't it? For that. Any other? How about this corner over here? Any? Being intentional. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Really good. Really good. Any others? Anybody else?
The thing that struck me was just one thing I think repeatedly. I'm aware of is the need to be expectant, and it's also preparation. So it's about always being prepared.
Yeah.
In a sense, we do everything every day.
Yeah.
We do everything every day. So that same experience was the same thing they had seen.
Yeah.
Times.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. I mean, I wonder if do we think this is normal Christianity, or do we think that was extra normal? They thought it was extraordinary. Yeah. So do we think, like, well, this is a highlight that happens once in a blue moon, or do we think this is can we dig into this? What do we think? Right. So do you think what we're experiencing is normal or abnormal? Yeah. I mean, I think if nothing else, I think it'd be good for us to get more hungry, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean for this? I'm reminded of John Wimber. Most of you probably won't have heard of John Wimber, but he started the Vineyard family of churches. His story was that he went to a Bible study and he got saved and he started reading the Bible, particularly the Book of Acts, and it changed his life, transformed his life. And he went to church, They came and it describes his experience of walking into a church, and there's people at the door. They must be the bouncers. He was from a nightclub background. He was a musician. So we better put his fag out. And he went and then some weeks in, he went to the leader of the church and said, "So when do we do it?" And the guy said, what do you mean? Well, you know, the stuff. When do we do the stuff? What do you mean, the stuff? What stuff? Yeah, the stuff in the book. When do we do the stuff in the book? And the guy said, well, we sing about it and we talk about it, but we don't really do it. And his reply was, I gave up drugs for this? And he went away having a quiet conversation with God. What say you and I go do the stuff? And then the Vineyard movement was started, and John Wimber came to this country in the 80s, 1980s, many people, many of the people that you know, the heroes of our kind of family of churches, were impacted by Wimber in the sort of in the 80s on the subject of healing and power evangelism. I in preparation to this, partly for nostalgia's sake, I went on YouTube and listened to John Wimber speak on power evangelism for a little while, and it was interesting, quite long-winded if I'm honest, but they saw miraculous things. Let me give you my thoughts for what they're worth. The background to this story, of course, is that Peter and John had walked with Jesus for 3 years, right? And so Jesus had modeled this kind of thing, hadn't he? It was normal for them. It's what they would have expected to happen in the day-to-day course of life. There would be moments of Holy Spirit interruption. They will call to mind moments when Jesus, was doing something and then the Holy Spirit interrupted and something happened and a miracle happened. They would have been used to that. I would argue that is probably what we need to be hungry for this to become our normal experience rather than what we currently experience. So the background is that they walked with Jesus for all of the time. Jesus, through those 3 years of walking with them, was training them. Jesus had a plan. The plan was that Jesus was going to see the glory of the Lord fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. His plan was for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. He decided to invest the majority of his energy in 12 men to do that. You know what I mean? And there were then 120 others that were sort of on the fringes of that. During that course, there was a moment where he sent the 12 out. A little training exercise, year team, I don't know. Sent them out. And simple instructions, wasn't it? Go, you know, raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the sick, freely receive, freely give. I mean, simple stuff. Elementary stuff. But it was like this was the disciples with our plates on. This was disciples that they didn't know much. They were still squabbling. They were still yet to have the conversation. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? I don't know if that comes up much in this church. When we get to heaven, is it going to be Simon? Is it going to be Paul sitting at the right hand? I don't know. It was elementary, wasn't it? Stuff. But it was basic stuff. Then Jesus then sent out 72 later on. And he gave them instructions. And so straight away we're seeing Jesus' plan is for multiplication. That's six times the original 12. Do you know what I mean? He sent them out. So they've got that foundation. They've got that background. And that they know that their destiny is to do what Jesus did. Jesus said to them, before he ascended on high, he said to them, wait. Wait in Jerusalem, because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So that was the plan. The plan was Jesus was going to show them, he was going to release them, give them teaching on it, and then he was going to encourage them to wait, realize that they can't do it without the Holy Spirit. They had to wait for the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came, and then they were sent to go and do the stuff that Jesus was doing. You know, we do make it quite complicated, don't we? It's not complex. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. Do you know what I mean? To go and do this stuff. And I just want to encourage you. There's a book that I've just read by Phil Moore, The Forgotten Manifesto of Jesus. If you've not heard of that or have not read that, I'd encourage you to read that book. It's particularly chronicling a move of the Holy Spirit in Iran. But it's taking basically chapter by chapter, going through Luke 10, where Jesus sent out the 72. I'd encourage you to have a read of that. He's arguing that this was Jesus's manifesto. This was the plan. We sent those 72 out. It was like they were forerunners for us all being sent out in the same way. okay? And he talks about finding a person of peace. He talks about all of these things, shaking the dust off your feet. I'd encourage you, Phil Moore, The Forgotten Manifesto of Jesus. I've not seen anyone write that down yet, so I'm a bit disappointed. You have, okay. You've remembered, oh, okay, yes, a memory. What would that be like? So have one of those. So I encourage you, have a read of it and say, do you know what, am I doing this? Am I sent out in the way that Jesus, I believe, wants us to be sent out? So here are my little observations from that text. First one is Peter and John, right? And it's so much easier, quite hard, Esther, quite difficult, right, doing that on your own, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And the reality is, I find I easily get distracted and I easily get myself busy with all sorts of other things unless somebody else is saying, Jim, we said we were going to do this thing. Okay? So here's application point number one. Still no pens out. Anyway, application point number one, I would say, is find a buddy. Jesus sent them out in twos, and I think he did that on purpose, as I think we need each other. Okay, Peter and John were together. Emmanuel and I at the river. It was helpful. Because actually, I'd had the conversation and I thought I'd done. And Emmanuel said, should we pray together? And I thought, do you know what I mean? Yes. So Emmanuel then said to me, Cor, you know how to talk to your people, don't you? Do you know what I mean? And I said, yeah, but you know how to pray. So we need each other. So who's got a buddy that is a, like, spirit-led evangelism buddy? Who's got one of those? Okay, so I'm preaching to the right group of people. One or two people have got that. I was asked earlier on, are we going to do a ministry time? Here's the ministry time. Find a buddy. Okay? I'm serious. Ministry time. Find a buddy and do it rather than just hear about it. Okay? Am I being too bold? I don't know. I encourage you to find somebody that you can identify with, that you can pray together, you can go for prayer walks, you can say, we are going to be intentional about being sent out into the world together. Is anyone going to do it? Yeah? Find a buddy. I'd encourage you to do that. Do you know what I mean? That's really important. Second point is to recognize that you're empty-handed. Silver and gold we don't have, but what I have I give to you. Now that is a challenge for us Westerners, isn't it? Because we've got a load of stuff. Do you know what I mean? We've got the answer. So, you know, our story might be, do you know what I mean? Oh, here's a couple of quid, go and get a coffee. Or, because we're smart, we'll go and buy them a coffee so they don't spend it on drugs. Right? That's that's a good thing to do. Right? Go and buy a coffee for someone. It's just not as good as seeing them healed, is it? So, you know, we've sort of get to a place of recognizing I've got nothing in my hands without the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I mean? Paul, when he went to Corinth, he said, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul actually knew a whole bunch of stuff. He was a sharp cookie. And he could argue the gospel with the best of them. But he resolved to know nothing while he was with them, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstrations of the Spirit's power. And in order to do that, sometimes we've got to acknowledge and recognize, I've got nothing in my hands. Sometimes, you know, when Jesus sent out the 72, he told them to take no money with them. I mean, don't, you know, why did they do that? Apart from that, they've got to understand they are utterly reliant and dependent on God. Are you prepared to put yourself in situations that only God can get you out of? Do you know what I mean? And this is what it means to be a believer. A believer believes stuff, right? And what are we believing? We're believing that God has sent us. We're believing that he's equipped us. We're believing that he's given us, you know, what you were believing, you were a believer, a shining example of a believer. That I'm nervous, it's not my personality, I'm not very good at this sort of thing, but I'm going to believe that Jesus can send me. Sermon enough at the beginning of the service. But recognize that we have nothing to bring to the table apart from Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the power of the Holy Spirit through us. And it's really important that we acknowledge that. Third thing, I tried to think of the best title for this, but always be ready. Do you know what I mean? You know, we miss moments, don't we, through not being ready. Do you know what I mean? And one of my favourite texts is, you know, in the armour of God, where it says, you know, your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And whenever I picture that, I always think of the Roman soldier like this. Do you know what I mean? Ready to charge, ready for battle, ready to go. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how we do that. Do you know what I mean? But moments like this, we can resolve to say, okay, I'm going to be ready. Is your life positioned such that you're going to have these stories? You know, I would love, you know, every service to start with another story. Oh, we've had another story. You know, I spoke to somebody at Aldi, or I did this. You know, I was really nervous. I didn't feel like I could really do it. Well, that's when you can do it. And God did something because I was ready. I was spotting the moment. How do you do that? How do you position yourself to be ready? I think, do you live in the good of the gospel for your own self? Are you aware of the grace of God? Are you amazed by the grace of God? Are you amazed by the gospel in your own life? Is it spurring you on? Is it championing you? Is it keeping you going? That you know that your sins have been wiped away. Do you know what I mean? So the man on the bench, you know, by the river, I was able to say, do you know what? There is hope. You know, there's ups and downs. You know, we've had our fair share of trials, fair share of troubles, things that don't go the way we want them to go. Even things that we think, of course, as a Christian, surely things should be going better than this. Anyone identify with that? But what we have, Esther was saying, what we have is we have hope. And that cannot be taken away. In fact, it's strengthened through difficult circumstances. How do you position yourself? Is your week fully mapped out? This is a challenge to us, isn't it? Is there space in your week? This is not me saying leave your job and you know, work for the church full time. This is me. It's more about an attitude than it is about a busy diary. Do you know what I mean? Because who's got a busy diary? I'll join the club. Life is like that. But in amongst that business, are you ready? In amongst that business, are you making space? Or are you in a hurry trying to do everything that you can do and not spotting the moments that the Holy Spirit's working? In order to do that, then we've sort of got to get up and pray in the morning. We've got to position ourselves to be with God, to be close to Him, to draw alongside Him. And we've got to have an attitude that is interruptible. Do you know what I mean? I'd encourage you. Now, I know if you're in the office or whatever, it's difficult, but in the office is where people are that are hungry for Jesus. So I'd encourage you to kind of go about your normal lives ready, because that's where Jesus is going to be. You know, Peter and John, I think, were doing their normal thing. They were going to the temple. They were doing what they knew to do. And they were going to the temple, but they were interruptible. Are you interruptible? Is your life interruptible? Can you make space? Have you got that attitude? Interestingly, one of the things I wanted to say was I found a practice, and I did it this week. Nothing happened, to be honest, but I did it this week. But I found a practice of sitting on a bench in the city centre every now and again just to say, Jesus, I'm here. What do you want to do? You know, make space. Make some space to sit on a bench and say, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do? I've had some of my best moments when I've sat on a bench listening to what Jesus wants to do. I think the other thing that I've more and more the moments that Jesus is doing in for us is that we've created a space as a church. I think this is a valid point. We've created a community space as a church where people can find hope. So interestingly, the man by the river, I was saying to him, you know, I lead a church called Hope Church, coincidentally. Do you know what I mean? He said, oh, yeah, I know it. I've been to the CAF. Do you know what I mean? So, and do you know what? The next day, who should walk into our CAF? The man. Because he wants hope. But we've created a space where people can find out. There's a guy that 2 years ago or so, I'm not very good with dates, but around about 2 years ago, a guy walked into the CAF, tried to commit suicide, just come out of hospital, sat on a bench, told me the story. I sat on a sofa in our cafe, put my arm around him. We had a little cry together. I said, it'll be all right. And told him about hope, told him about Jesus. And he wept his way to Jesus. And last week, he led his first person to Jesus. Do you know what I mean? And this is a guy, learning difficulties. You know, he's not the guy you would choose to be at your front of. I mean, he's the guy I would choose, but not everyone would. To be at the front of your church, doing stuff. So we've been learning how to do discovery Bible studies. So there's another new guy that he did a discovery Bible study with. He became a Christian, and now he's starting a little group in his flat. His flat, incidentally, that has gas and electricity for the first time in many, many years, because we've helped him sort some stuff out in his life. Is now opening that flat up to do Bible studies with people and finding faith in Jesus. I mean, I don't know what he's going to teach. Do you know what I mean? Because we're unleashing him and saying, go and read the Bible and ask these questions with people. And so far, one person's got saved. And there's another new convert that's saying, can you teach me how to do that? And we've got an app called what? It's a very well-known Wawa, something like that app. I can't remember what it's called. That you can download. So all the time in your pocket, you've got Bibles, you've got Discovery Bible Studies that you can pull them out and say, right, let's open up the, you know, I found these stories helpful. Can I share some with you? Do you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, being ready, being available, we've opened up some space for that now as a church, for that to happen. You know, almost all of the people that have got saved in Hope Church in this last year got saved in that space. Not many have got saved on our Sunday mornings. Any? Anyway, so make some space for people. We've got a guy at the moment that is discovering. Do you know what I mean? And he's a long term criminal, and we don't ask him too many questions about what he gets up to. He is going straight, is what we know. He currently deals in gold. It's better than the stuff he was dealing in. But he's on a journey to faith. Now, interesting thing. So he's found that in our community. He's come to our community and he said, I don't know if I yet feel it. This is what he's saying to me. I don't know if I yet feel it, but I know I'm around good people. And I know that there's a presence of God around you lot that I want. Okay, so anyway, he's chatting. So that's the world he's in. He's chatting. He's got a business partner that deals gold with him. And he's chatting to his business partner about 3 weeks ago. And he plucked up the courage. He was a bit embarrassed. He said, you never guess what? I've been going to church a bit recently. I mean, this is like a traveling bag. He's a big guy, and I wouldn't want to cross him. He said, yeah, I've been going to church, a bit embarrassed, a bit sheepish, I've been going to church a bit. The guy said, no way. 2 weeks ago, I gave my life to Jesus. Isn't it a good story? But what I'm saying is, be available for those sorts of moments. Build church around those sorts of moments. Build space for those sorts of moments. We can build space around, you know, around serving our Christian needs, and we're missing something if we're not in this. Okay. Fourth thing. So the second one was make space and be ready. Be on the front foot. Fourth thing is listen. We've got two of these, one of those. All right. as a clue. Listen, I found just developing a curiosity about people has got me in all sorts of places, in all sorts of situations. Oh, really? Tell me about that. Do you know what I mean? You know, you don't believe, or you're a Buddhist. Tell me about it. Just be interested, because almost always there's a little moment where the gospel can space something. I will say, in that listening, sometimes we can be in a big hurry. If your take home from this is Jim told me I've got to tell more people that they're sinners, they need to go, you know, need to repent. And you know, I'm not really saying that. I'm saying the gospel is broad and it's wide and it's got stuff to say to everybody's situation. Sometimes we can get so uptight about I've got to do evangelism that someone says something and we press play and we just spout off something that we've learnt about the gospel and I feel like we're missing something when we don't listen and have an interaction with an individual. What's going on in their lives? Do you know what I mean? What's really happening? Because there's always something. There's always a point of connection that we can bring the gospel. The gospel is broad. The gospel talks about hope. The gospel talks about, for me, it was about the Father heart of God, and it was about purpose for your life. That was the carrot that God waved in front of me that I thought, yes, please. Do you know what I mean? What is it? Not many people that you interact with this week will be sitting at home thinking, oh no, my sins are making me go to hell. What must I do? Yes, whereas often our start point is Jesus died for your sins. Let's make our start point be where someone's itching. Because the gospel is broad and it's wide. It's got lots to say about all sorts of things. So listen. Listen to someone's story and find an inroad. And it might be that you don't find an inroad that day. And it might be that you don't find an inroad again. Somebody else does. I mean, be patient. You know, when the 72 were sent out, they were sent out, find a person of peace and stay with them. It wasn't like a quick fixed moment. It was stay with them for a while. It takes time sometimes for someone to be open to the gospel. Listen to what people are saying. Time's run out. There's whisperings in the front row. That'll be about me. I just want to encourage you, listen to what people are saying. Listen to the Spirit in the moment. Do you know what I mean? Because he might show you some things in the moment. That's what it means to be Spirit-led. There'll be some things, there'll be some moments. I mean, it's ages ago now, but I remember some years ago I was chatting to somebody, and I saw a picture of a baby's milk bottle, and in the baby's milk bottle it was grey and gone off, and it was a word of knowledge. Now it's a delicate word of knowledge, because really it was about that person was abused when they were young, so I'm not going to start then saying that. So I said, you know, I had a picture, and I wonder if something happened to you when you were younger. And there's tears. And then suddenly we're now having a very spiritual conversation. And that person found their way to Jesus. Because there's moments when God will give you a little thought. How are we doing? Like Esther's great example of following the little nudge. You might have just had a walk, and you might have kept your bracelet. Do you know what I mean? But you followed a nudge. I want to encourage us, practice following the nudge. Practice listening to the Spirit and doing what he says. Because he will lead you. You will have those stories if you are available to him. So practice listening to the Spirit. Listen to the person, listen to the Spirit. And I've got two more points, but I'll throw them out very quickly. You know, there comes a moment in this deal where you've got to jump. My thing is 1, 2, 3, jump. If you were in an aeroplane and you were doing, anyone jumped out of an aeroplane with a parachute? Anyone ever done that? Yes. Why? Idiot. It's a crazy thing to do. But I'm guessing in that moment, I mean, you probably tandemed or something like that, were you? But in that moment, you've just got to jump. Right, and there's a moment when we find ourselves in a situation where we've just got to jump. we've just got to step, do you know what I mean? And say, like so the guy in the, at the river, my jumper moment was, I said, "Hi, I'm Jim. I'm a praying man." I didn't know what else to say. I said, I pray. I've outed myself. Do you know what I mean? And we can pray. And so in a moment, you will find, in a situation, in an interaction like that, you will find there's a moment where you could bottle it or you could jump. If you were in the aeroplane, you could bottle it or you could jump. Do you know what I mean? And there will be moments. I just want to encourage us. This is the ministry time for you to find a buddy and do this stuff. It's not just, you know, we're very good at hearing about it and doing nothing with it. Why don't we have a go at doing something with it? Right? Find a buddy and position yourself in moments where you kind of got to jump. Where you know, you are going to find yourselves ridiculed if Jesus doesn't show up. Do you know what I mean? We're very blessed. I've just come back from visiting some friends in Egypt, where preaching the gospel is illegal, and you could get killed for doing so. And they're there to go and preach the gospel. They kind of made some decisions to go jump, and what we get is laughed at a bit. We might not get invited back to a party or whatever it might be. Do you know what I mean? And people will despise you. People will hate you. People will misunderstand you. That's a given. Settle that now. Okay? But some people will find life. Some people will find. I mean, that guy 2 years ago that came into our calf, you know, I'm gonna jump with him in glory. Do you know what I mean? What an amazing thing. If that's the one story that I've got, I'm going to jump with that guy in glory. That's enough, isn't it? There might be a person that God has destined you to be brave with, that you're then going to jump with them in glory. It's amazing. So there comes a point when you've got to say 1, 2, 3, jump. And I think my final sixth and final point, 6 points, long sermon, right? You know, is to pray. We kind of got to pray. And it's great that you guys are praying, a praying church. Great that you're praying this evening. You've had a week of prayer, because God answers. God steps in. God does things when we pray. So that said, shall we pray? Yes. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we want to lift up the thousands of people in Coventry that don't know you. Lord, that if today they died, they would have an eternity apart from you. Would you arrest us with motivation? God, that we wouldn't be motivated through guilt or I ought to, but we'd be drawn with compassion and mercy and love. Just as those early believers had to wait for the Spirit, I pray for this congregation that you'd continue to baptize them with the Holy Spirit, continue to empower them and give them courage. Thank you for Esther's story. Continue to strengthen and empower her. We pray for your stretch out your hand for healing on her life. Thank you for the courage to go anyway. Pray for that story to be multiplied throughout this congregation. We pray that you would, this moment wouldn't just be, oh, another sermon that we go and have our lunch and discuss and do nothing with. But that we would find a buddy and that we'd put your word in practice. And we would see you move in people's lives. I pray for story after story after story in this congregation of conversations by the river, of people finding faith. We pray for the encounter congregation here. We pray for story after story of people that were going to commit suicide that find hope. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we can't do it. We acknowledge our empty hands. Say, we can't do it. We're not courageous enough. We're not clever enough. We don't have power of our own. But you have all of those things. So we choose to depend on you and lean on you, and we choose to step out and to say 1, 2, 3, jump. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.